Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Well, welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majure. We hear a lot about the modern mental health crisis, but the solution has a tried and true answer. We're going to talk about prayer and mental health. We have with us Lori Snayman. She's been a good friend over the years, doing programs for us, writing newsletter articles, and doing seasonal spots for Strong Tower Radio. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio, Lori.
Thank you, Tom. What a treat to be on Strong Tower Radio, the best radio programs through the country. And we just, appreciate all that you folks are doing to help people out there.
And you're monitoring us down in Tennessee, correct?
That is correct. That's where I have retired to. And I am missing the people in Michigan, but I am enjoying the weather right now.
Absolutely. And your husband, Royce, also spoke highly when we saw him recently at Camp Asabo up in Grayling.
Yes, that was so exciting to be there.
Absolutely. So, Lori, tell our listening audience your qualifications. I want to make sure I've got them all right.
Well, I'm a social worker, and I have worked for maybe 30 years working with counseling couples and adults, even children at one time. I have worked in psychiatric units in hospitals, and I just enjoyed being able to help people throughout all those years with some of their mental health problems.
And people love to talk to you, and you make them feel so comfortable, relaxed, and dealing with difficult subjects.
Yes, well, we all have difficult things happening in our lives, and if you're not going through something right now, you might be going through something soon, or maybe you're just coming out of it. And it seems that we will all hit something sometime, and so we need somebody to listen to us and help us, because sometimes we just need that extra person, that human person that's going to help, push us into the right direction.
Well, Lori, we're going to have you give a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with the interview.
Okay. Lord, I just pray that you will be with us as we talk on the program today. Lord, I know that there are listeners out there that struggle, or people who are in crises or having problems. And Father, I just pray that you will bless what we say, and you will hone it into a way that will make sense to them and will touch their hearts. And thank you, Lord, that you're willing to change hearts and change situations for us in a way that we can't even believe. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. And as we talked about in the beginning of the program, that mental health issues are on the increase, but there is a help, assistance that often is overlooked, but it is a tried and true method. Lori, would you share with our audience about that tried and true method?
Well, when you say tried and true method, I'm thinking that you mean one of the areas is that when we have a relationship with Christ, we can decrease some of our isolation and decrease some of our anxiety, and sometimes we can even be completely healed. There are people that can help mentor us and encourage us. But, boy, Tom, I just heard some terrible statistics recently on the radio. It was on public radio, and they were saying that over 65% of college students say that they have some kind of a mental health problem. And that's a lot of people. That's more than half. And that seems to be because of all the isolation that went on during the COVID times, and it's just made an impact on our society.
So there's a residual effect?
Absolutely. Isolation is one of our biggest problems. And, we are told in this society to be independent and, you know, pull your bootstraps up and do your own thing. But when we do it apart from being with other people, it seems that we have some greater problems with depression, anxiety, and, you know, our eccentric behavior where we want things the way we want them at the time we want them and we don't want to deal with other people hurts our relationships as well. And relationships, they are very important for us, and they help us to stay more focused and healthier in mental ways.
The amazing thing about this relationship with praying to God is that it's always available.
That is very true. There are some wonderful things that have come out in research now about prayer, and prayer is a time when our brains are stimulated and our stress goes down, our anxiety goes down. There are all kinds of benefits of praying, and that will make a big difference in your mental health.
Now, Lori, people know about prayer, but it's probably would be shocking to find out how many people don't really know how to pray. Is there a way to pray that is more effective, especially when you were dealing with mental health issues?
Well, the Bible tells us how to pray in many ways. You know, our Father's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," has a good illustration of how we can lay out a prayer. There are prayers that tell us that we should be rejoicing. Wow, the research is really great on that as well. People who are having prayers of gratitude, their brain just lights up and stimulates, and they said that that is one of the most beneficial, brain-healthy things that you can do is to have a prayer of gratitude. So all of these things help our mental health.
So you mentioned that a prayer of gratitude is one of the most effective ways, but when you're depressed, gratitude is not the first thing you think about.
Well, isn't that right? Because we're all human and we're all fighting our sinful behaviors, and so we need to do something different. So if you're, Tom, if you're depressed, it would mean that it would be more comfortable for you. You would feel more interested in staying by yourself, pulling down the shades, not talking to anyone, not doing anything, not participating in things that you used to do, and milling over things in your mind over and over about maybe regrets or things that you're upset about. Those are natural things that we would do, but they are also unhealthy things that we would do. When people are working on their depression, they're told, you know, seek out a person to talk to, get out of your house, get out into the sunshine, get out into the fresh air, you know, get some exercise. So they have to do the opposite of how they feel. And we shouldn't let our feelings be our guide. They should, you know, we should be recognizing how we feel, but not let those be our gauges that tell us what to do. We need to tell them what to do. And prayer is the opening of a heart to a friend. And so many times when we are praying, we're finding relief just knowing that God understands and that he can do something with our problem, not us. So it also helps us to know that he is working on it and it doesn't have to always be on our shoulders.
By doing this positive thing of praying to God, could we develop a better relationship with God in the process of trying to solve our mental health problems?
So the more that we do our prayers, the more that we pray, the benefits, actually, if you were just looking at it not from a Christian, you know, godly perspective, but you were looking at it from a clinical, researching things, yes, there's a huge benefit that people feel better when they have mental health problems when they are praying than when they're not. And they found out that they don't know how it works according to research. They don't know why it works, but they do know that it does work, which is kind of funny. The researchers aren't allowed to say, well, it must be God or the Holy Spirit that's helping a person. They don't get to say that, but they can measure the progress of a person's mental health, their stress. They do a pre-test and a post-test after somebody's been praying for a period of time. And they also found out that the people have less dementia and a higher life expectancy. You know, I've got a new grandson, and I want to spoil him, and I want to have all the time that I can have. And if I am able to, have more time on this earth to pray for him and interact with him, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to continue to work on praying.
So is there we mentioned the Lord's Prayer as a possible prayer, but sometimes it reminds me when I first started gardening on a large scale, I told one of my mentors, he says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do what you do because it's successful. You say to do this, I'm going to do that. And he said, you'll eventually change. I said, that's okay. I will eventually develop my own style and the vegetables I want to plant and whatever, but I want to stick to a formula that works. Is there a formula for mental health needed prayers?
Well, now, Tom, I'm going to step a little bit with over to another thought, which is I love acronyms.
Okay.
Acronyms help me to feel like I have a formula so that I, remember all the things that I need to do. Let's face it, our memories aren't as good every day. We're working on, getting older all the time. And so my acronym that I like, that I found, is PRAY. The first one is praise to God. The next one is R, repent. I need to apologize for what I've done, acknowledge what I've done, and the Lord is going to not only take that off my heart, I get rid of it, and so that helps me with my mental health. And the next one is A, ask the Lord to help people in your lives. And I keep a prayer list of people that I know that need prayer. I pray for myself as well. And then Y is yield. When something happens, maybe I don't even like it because it's kind of annoying or whatever, I have to recognize that if I put my life into God's hands, then there is some purpose for why that happened. Or, if I get a flat tire, maybe I'm going to be witnessing to the person who changes my tire. Or if I am slowed down by the train when I'm going somewhere, maybe that's a good opportunity to pray. So, we need to recognize that when we put our hands into the Lord, that we are in His hands. And so we don't need to get so upset over things because He's the one directing our life. And that takes a lot of pressure off of us. So I really like that. There is another acronym that I like, and that's T. Because we're told, take everything to God in prayer. Take your thoughts captive. And then E is for everything. We need to lay everything at His feet. And A, we're also told that we should pray all the time. Now, I know that some of us have to concentrate and do things, and we can't always be praying every moment, but we need to be working towards that. And the more that we are working towards that, the more relief we have.
Absolutely. So that first one, I'm going to do this like they do on those recipe shows, they mm-hmm. repeat what was said. So prayer is the acronym.
Pray.
And the word is praise is the first one of the acronym.
That's right. Praise God for His goodness.
Then repent.
Yep. R is for repent. Repent. If we don't acknowledge or confess what we've done, then we aren't going to work on it. And we need a heart change. So when we recognize that we've made a mistake and we apologize for it, the Lord can help us to change.
That repent may have more power in it than we acknowledge. That's kind of a turning away or something. So then you can ask for the next one is A, ask for the Lord to help.
That's right. And don't, you know, we are really good at praying for other people, but we often need to pray for ourselves as well. The Bible says in many places to examine yourself. And when we examine ourselves, we can see where we're going wrong. And Lord, I was irritable. I was impatient. I recognized that I was wanting more attention. I was demanding. Like, when I recognize that I have those issues, the Lord is able to work on us. But if I just act like it didn't happen, it's not an issue, then it's much harder for Him to permeate that shell.
And the last one was yield.
That's right. Yield my life. Lord, this is your day. I am your vessel. Use me the way that you want to use me. And then I won't be so irritated about things that happen, because I know that the Lord is going to use them for good.
Well, Lori, it's interesting that I think yielding must be pretty powerful, because you ask yourself, how has it been working for us? And it hasn't been working well. So wouldn't it be a good idea to yield to God instead of our own thought pattern?
Oh, my. God has ideals that we can't even think about. He has plans that we can't even think about. Why would we want to try and come up with our earthly plans for our own lives? I mean, he's such a phenomenal God. And I'm like, there's times when I prayed for something and I prayed that it would happen a certain way, and instead it happened a different way, and I would have never guessed using it that way. I'm just like, let God do His work without telling Him how to do it and micromanaging Him.
Let's not limit God by doing it our way.
And our way is not the best way. It's just the way that we see it.
And, you know, I see especially that yielding, and it's also an interpretation. Sometimes what I heard you saying is yielding to a different interpretation, and the same thing may happen to you, but you interpret it in a different way, maybe.
That's right. There's a lot of difference between an earthly perspective and a heavenly perspective, and we need to come up to the Lord. We don't want to bring Him down to our level. Do it this way. Really? I'm like, He had so much better plans than we ever had.
We got to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And then that T, let's go over that again. Take your problems to the Lord. Was that it?
Yes, there are Bible verses where it says that we should take our thoughts captive. You know, when we ruminate and we keep on thinking a certain way, well, let's just say that today I'm thinking, oh, I've got to meet with Tom at a certain time, and I'm probably never going to make it in time. I'm going to have to rush home to get on the phone or whatever. Well, what if I just said, Lord, you just be with me, and you know what's supposed to happen, and isn't that funny? I got home, and you were a few minutes late, and I'm like, all of that stress about, you know, getting home on time so that we could sit here on this phone, just crazy, because God knew exactly how it was going to work out already.
Absolutely. That's my day all day, so today.
That's right.
Let's look at T, and then we're going to look at some godly examples in the Bible who did it right.
Are you going to go to E?
Well, yeah, that's right. E is everything, isn't it?
Everything. Lay everything at God's feet. We do not have the ability to carry our burdens around. There are things that we can't do. You know, if you told your refrigerator to heat up your food, that would be crazy, because your refrigerator doesn't heat up your food. Or if you tell your oven, keep my eggs cold, it doesn't do that. It's not set for that. We are not set for holding all these burdens that we are holding, because they're things that we can't change. We could sit there and worry about them and distress about them, but only God knows how to figure those out. So make sure you give Him everything. Every time that you want to hold something, you say, here, God, I want to give it to you. I'm sorry that I keep grabbing it back, but you are the one who knows what to do.
So everything, and the next one is all the time. Those are absolutes.
That's right. Pray without ceasing. Pray throughout the day. You know, if we're doing prayers of gratitude. We're like, thank you, Lord, for this car ride. Thank you that I have a car to drive. Thank you, Lord, I'm wearing clothes today. Thanks that I had breakfast today. Like, as we are thanking the Lord, we start to recognize that we're in a prayerful attitude throughout the day. And that is so important that we keep on working on that. We're so busy, and we need to stop and say, Lord, I need to keep my mind on you. I want to be heavenly minded so I can see things the way you do.
It's like what you were saying, praising for things that we take for granted. You're building up a bank account of positive things.
Well, I want to tell you, here's a true confession.
Uh-oh.
And that is that I sometimes get at the end of my day and I go, oh, Lord, you know, after we had worship this morning, I don't know if my mind ever went to you or thanked you or anything. And I feel so awful because I shouldn't have been, you know, just thinking my own way, doing my own thing, out on my own energy and thinking that I could solve everything. But if we are grateful, truly grateful, and we continue to praise God, we will find out that throughout the day, we have been checking in with God because we've been thanking him throughout the day.
That's a great advice. Let's.
Can I say another thing, Tom?
You may.
One of the studies, Pew Research, they talk to people who say that they pray all day long. 70% of them, when they added up how much time they had spent in prayer, they prayed less than 1 minute.
We overestimate our prayer.
That is actually what I was going to say, is that you may think you're in prayer all day, but maybe it was just a dash here and a dash there. And unless we consistently plan to talk to God, sometimes we are actually doing a second prayer. And those, even if we did it 60 times, it might not even come out to a second, you know? Well, I guess 60 does come out to a second. But anyway, let's say we did it 50 times and it doesn't really come out to a minute. So I'm just saying that we need to recognize that we need to spend time in prayer. So not just the prayers on the run, but consistent worship of God.
Well, that's a reality check to all of us.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And to me, too.
So we are going to be going to a break here, but what are some examples in Bible that we've got to have something to put in our mind? We need to pray like a Daniel or somebody else. Get us started on a list of people that will continue after the break.
Well, I'm going to tell you that people who worshiped in the morning, I have a list of them.
Okay.
I wanted to say, are there some godly examples that give us some ideas about how to have this consistent, purposeful prayer? And I have a list of them and what they did.
Let me guess. Is there 20 of them?
Well, there are probably close to 20.
Oh, good. Wow. Praise the Lord. I came close.
Yes.
Who's on that list?
Okay, Abraham, Genesis 22, 3 and 5. Talk about Abraham, you know, setting up his worship in the morning. Moses in Exodus 24 and 34, it talks about him setting up his time in the morning to worship and to sacrifice. Proverbs 31 talks about the godly woman and how she gets up in the morning and praises God and gives, you know, starts her day. These are people that are giving us illustrations of how to conduct a godly life. Isaiah 50, chapter 4, talks about him also in the morning. Do you want me to keep going?
Yes, we'll go right to the break.
Okay, Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29 talks about him purposely getting up in the morning to have worship. Job talks about it, that he's been, you know, in Job 42, verse 10, talks about that. David talks about it. I could name off many psalms, but I would need to look them all up right now. But it talks all the time about, you know, talking to God, and it mentions mourning. And then there's this one person in the Bible that is like the Prince of Peace, the special one, the one that we want to emulate, who isn't just a man, and his name is Jesus. And in Mark 1, it talks about how he took time before the light was up. So in other words, before the sun was up, and he went out and prayed. You know, Jesus was part of the Godhead. Jesus was the Son of God. I'm just like, and he needed to connect with his Father. What about Tom and Lori? I'm like, really? Like, did we really think that we should start our day without talking to the divine God that could help us plan our day better? And so when you look at all of that, there is a lot of reason about why we have to be persistent in prayer and plan it.
Absolutely. You know, I was in a church high school, and one of the teachers, whenever he conducted our chapel or worship, there was a song, and I believe it's based on scripture, "In the morning thou shalt hear my voice ascending high. To thee will I direct my prayer, to thee lift up my eyes."
Well, there's nothing like a song or a prayer that it does so much power for our mental health and our brains. I have another one I don't know that you have time right now, but there's that one that I taught the children when I went on a mission trip to Indonesia. And I can tell you now or I'll tell you later.
I can't wait.
Okay, you mean right now?
Yes.
It says, when I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the floor, I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I roll out of bed and my feet hit the floor, I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, Lord, I love you. I just wanted you to know, here's my life, my heart, my soul. I yield it all to thee. And, you know, those kids love singing it, but it keeps going through my head even when I wake up in the morning and I think, wow, my first thought should be of Christ.
Amen. Well, listeners, while we go to a break, you're going to have a tough decision listening to the promos and the spots between this half and the next half of the program, but maybe you can lift up a prayer in that particular time. You're listening to Strong Tower Radio with Lori Snaiman, licensed social worker and a longtime friend of this ministry. And we're talking about mental health and prayer. And I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio, and we're talking about mental health and prayer. There can be a positive interaction between prayer and mental health. And we have Lori Snaiman with us, licensed social worker, and we've been talking in the first half. We talked about people who specifically... Lori, we can be guaranteed that these people, many other people prayed in the morning, but these ones were clearly denoted as praying in the morning. Why does it make why can't we just wait till they just save up all those prayers and dump them on God just before we go to bed?
Well, I think that God is honored when we specifically start our day with Him, because there is somebody who waits for us when we wake up. And He is willing to completely sabotage our day and get us going on the wrong path. But Christ needs to be invited. And so that would be a huge reason about why we want our first thoughts to be with Him. And that is to give Him our day. Very important. But there's other things about morning that they have learned from research, and I would love to share some of those with you.
Please do.
Okay. So researchers say that your brain in the morning is more flexible and teachable, kind of like Play-Doh. The word is neuroplasticity. It can be stimulated, worked on, and it actually is a better memory. Even if you're not a morning person, the morning, they found on all these people, had the ability to pick up and actually set yourself for the whole day. So if I wake up, what do you think that most people grab in the morning as soon as they wake up? Any ideas?
Their cell phone.
That is exactly right. So if I grab my cell phone and I look at a negative message, I don't know, maybe Karen yelling on one of the videos, or I look at a political message and it's got a, you know, a little spark to it where it tries to irritate you or whatever, that actually has been shown to make your entire day more negative. And so when you get into your car and it doesn't start right away, you're irritated. Or when you get into traffic, you're more irritated. Or when you get to the office, the people who are just human might irritate you more because you started out with something negative. But let's just say you started out with God, you thanked Him for your life, that you got another day, and actually you've set your brain and programmed your brain to be more positive throughout the rest of the day, and you are going to cope a lot better with life's intrusions in your day.
Absolutely. You know, I think of that. I've heard people use the word prayer cover, and having a prayer cover in the beginning of the day, why should you be without coverage and all day long? Part of your waking hours are lost without having prayer cover.
Right. And, you know, I used to be in a neighborhood where I could hear people shouting out the window when their kids were going to school, and they're like, good luck, have a great time. And I'm like, whatever happened to be, God be with you, I'll be praying for you. I'm like, you want to cover people in prayer, you want to cover your family in prayer, and you want to yield your life to Christ. You don't really need the devil to have the strength to be able to do whatever he chooses that day. You're dedicating your life to Christ that day. It's a great way to decide every day that you are going to be on His side.
So you've got a story about a storm. Tell us about the story. It must have something to do with prayer.
Well, that is true. So I was giving a baby shower in another area, and my husband said, you know, they say that there's going to be a really bad storm tonight. Make sure you get home before it gets bad, because I guess it could be a really bad storm with heavy wind. And so, you know, I rented a place and I had to make sure it was all clean, and I got really late coming home. And sure enough, just exactly what was supposed to happen, it was starting to get dark. The rain started to fall. The wind started to blow. Every time that the lightning started, you could see the clouds rolling over your head. And then the trees started to blow sideways. And I recognized that, you know, especially when I go home on this little road that's very windy towards my house, there's no place to go. I mean, sometimes there's a ravine on the side and there's no shoulders. It's just kind of a little road. And I started to think, wow, I could be in a lot of trouble here. The trees were bending over, almost touching my car. At that moment, I got a text from a friend named Cindy. Now, Cindy is a friend, but I wouldn't say she's my prayer partner. I wouldn't say that we're best friends. We see each other. We pick up and talk to each other when we see each other. But Cindy texted me that she was encouraged at that moment to pray for me, and that she wanted me to know she was praying for me because she felt that I was in some kind of danger. Well, wow. Right away, I felt relieved. I thought about calling my husband, but I didn't want him to worry. But to think that Cindy was praying for me, that was really encouraging. And I only had 10 more minutes to home. And so when I pulled into my garage, I texted her and said, "Can you talk?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "What made you feel like you should text me?" And she said, "I was sitting here with my husband, and I just felt impressed. Lori needs you to pray for her right now." And I said, "Well, thank you, Cindy. It made me feel so much better to know that you were covering me in prayer, because I really was in a situation where I was concerned." Well, there is a research project that shows we don't know how prayer works, but we can prove when people are prayed for that not only does it do something for their mental health to know that they're being prayed for and improve something in their life, but the person that's praying for you also is benefiting in some way, mentally, physically, or spiritually, or all three. Well, the next morning I was on my way to a class early in the morning, and you know how when something's going on, it freezes in your head where you were right at that moment. So when Cindy texted me, it froze in my head that I was right there in that one little vicinity of this road where the trees were going sideways and there was a big drop off. Do you know that when I turned around the curve, there in the road was all of this timber and stuff, branches and all kinds of stuff, and you could see that it was dragged over to the side, and there were two large trees that they had cleaned off the road from that storm that had fallen over. Well, I don't know if they were going to fall on my car, but knowing that Cindy prayed for me, it could have been that it was going to come down at that moment, or it came down after. I just know that I was bathed in prayer, and Cindy felt so impressed that God would let her know to pray for me, and that there was some kind of benefit by her praying for me. All of us benefited from obeying what God wanted us to do, and that is pray for your friends when you're told to pray. And I benefited from the fact that she was praying for me. So research shows that that's exactly what happens. We all benefit from prayer.
What I heard you say, it is a win-win. It's a win for those that you're praying for, and it's a win for the person who's praying.
Right. You know, Tom, sometimes we think the only benefit is if somebody is healed or the problem resolves. It could be that the Lord is not ready to answer it in that way. It says that no matter what happens that the person's praying for, there is significant research to show that everybody benefited in some way, mentally or physically. And when you are ready, I would love to tell you what some of the research is showing about the benefits of prayer.
I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready. Well, I want you to know I did not do an exhaustive research on this. I just looked up a few things here and there in studies, and here's what it says. Prayer has been shown, okay, for all of these things, to brighten the mood. So, again, gratitude about what God has done for us helps us to feel better. Feelings of peace and contentment come over people. People who are praying many times have had it documented that it blocks the nerves in such a way that they don't feel the pain that they were feeling just before they prayed. They actually either minimized the pain or they actually had no pain while they were praying. That's interesting. It was shown that it lowers addictive behaviors because people who pray, their self-control is increased. You know, I'm laughing about sometimes I can't remember a word. One of the things that prayer does is it helps one to think more clearly and concentrate better. In testing and in conversations, it's all been measured. Here's another one. It revs up the immune system, which helps us to fight infections.
And fights infections. Now, that's a great thing.
Yeah. Here's another one. It increases the dopamine in your brain, which makes you feel a better sense of well-being. When we are smiling or laughing, we get serotonin. Dopamine is one of those receptors, one of those hormones that makes us feel good. And so people who pray more actually feel a better sense of well-being. Sounds good.
And
that would help your mental health.
It sure would. And I would assume that it has few side effects.
That's right. Less than medicine. I'm not telling you not to take medicine, but this is one of the natural things that you can do to help yourself. Here's another one. Prayer was shown to significantly decrease a person's stress.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's another one about mental health. It regulates the emotions. Instead of having high highs and low lows, it seems to maintain in a little much more neutral pattern. So it regulates the emotions. Here's another one. It lowers your blood pressure. Ever had any blood pressure issues out there? I mean, people are hearing about blood pressure all the time. I remember when we all wanted to know what we measured up in measurements, and now we all want to know, in this age, you know, what's your blood pressure? What's your cholesterol? Whatever. It's so funny how we change about what we're interested in. You know, how many beats a minute is your heart doing? All those things. Well, how about lowering your blood pressure because you're praying? And here's some more. It reverses heart disease, or it helps the problems of heart disease to be minimal. It also can actually reduce problems with diabetes or actually reverse it. The more that people are praying. I'm just like, these are some heavenly solutions to some of these things. And I would never tell people, now, go off your medicine or stop seeing your doctor. Absolutely not. But when you can help yourself in some ways, we should be doing that. And prayer actually helps us. So you want to hear about marriages?
Absolutely.
There were couples that were asked to pray for 30 days. They gave them a pretest about where they were in marriage happiness. They said from 0 to 10, rate your marriage. And they only specifically measured the people who said they were at a 5 or lower on their happy satisfaction of their marriage.
Would that mean that they were a little, they were having problems maybe?
Well, you know, I would think that their marriages were ho-hum, maybe unhappy. Maybe they weren't dealing with issues. They were just kind of maintaining. So after 30 days, they found out when they tested couples again that they improved the satisfaction in their marriage. They went up 1 to 4 points in their satisfaction of the marriage. And then they also looked at other areas. They found out that those couples developed more empathy for their spouses, more concern, more forgiveness, and more warmth and love towards them. And I'm like, that is where the Lord is melting the ice off of our hearts, because we are connecting with Him and He helps us. And I think that there are lots of marriages out there that are ho-hum, and it would be great if they could improve their points and have a happier marriage.
I was just wondering, when these couples were praying, were they praying individually but both praying, or were they praying together?
Well, there's more than one study. In one study, it didn't matter if they were all couples or if it was one person praying for their marriage. And then in another one, it was the both of the couples. And they actually gave them specific prayers to pray because they wanted to make sure that they could measure things. And so all of them benefited. And it could be they gave them Christian prayers to pray, even if they weren't Christian, which is interesting too, isn't it?
That
people who are not Christians that are willing to pray actually benefit in some way in their marriage relationships.
So it helps everyone.
Actually, yeah. I mean, that was just for married couples. So what would it be like if we just prayed prayers, whether, you know, we don't feel like we're at the top of our relationship with Christ or whatever? All those prayers are evidently respected and loved by the Savior that wants to hear from us.
So going back to the physical benefits of this, what is the duration of that improved health benefits on diabetes and lowering blood pressure? Is it just during the period of prayer, or did it last beyond the duration of the prayer?
Now, I'm not sure how long it lasted, but this is when they surveyed people after they specifically exercised prayers for 30 days in many of the we're referring to multiple studies. So it sounds like that it was for a period of time, absolutely, for as long as they measured them for. And some of them, they measured them for years after, and some of them they measured only for months after. So, yeah, that's kind of a loaded question. I don't know how to answer that because I'm referring to so many different studies.
Absolutely. But if it has an effect on diabetes, I think that would have a little bit longer effect.
Absolutely. Well, I would love to think that. I agree. Can I also put in a thing, like, remember how I told you that many times when people said they pray all the time, that 70% of them were praying less than a minute a day?
Right.
Well, there are so many researchers now. There's neuro prayer researchers. I don't know. There's some new fields out there. And they found out that people who pray 12 minutes a day or longer saw better benefits in their lives, including in the brain. The parietal lobes in the brain start to light up, and it starts to stimulate the brain, and it starts to, it de-stresses the brain, and it gives the brain a little vacation. And they actually found out that it improved a person's longevity, and let me see, I think it was about their immune system. It revved up their immune system if they would only spend 12 minutes or more in prayer a day.
Do you think that that's a threshold and you need to do at least 11 minutes and 59 seconds, or is there benefits at a shorter duration?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who want to do the minimum. Don't you think, Tom?
Yes, I think
they just want to do the minimum. They just want to check off the list. But I think that when they spend time with Jesus, they're going to find out that he's their friend. They're going to feel better mentally, physically, when they grow. And I think that it may be that they go for the wrong reasons with the wrong motivations, but God will change their hearts and that they will enjoy and recognize how important it is to spend time with him.
You know, Lori, that makes me think of some time back. We had a wonderful pastor many years ago who was a praying pastor, and he encouraged us. We took a Saturday afternoon and prayed for a whole hour. And can I tell you my experience?
Sure.
It's interesting. The first 5-10 minutes, it started getting pretty tough after those first 5 minutes, getting into 10 mm-hmm. minutes. You know, you go after those selfish prayers, those ones you immediately want fixed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to fill out that hour, you have to include more people in your prayer.
Wow.
You start stretching and start talking about your mom and your dad and your grandpa and grandma and your sister and your brother. Then you start talking about the people at church. And after you go through all the church members you can think of, then you got to start thinking about your neighbors. Start praying about your neighbors. And it was amazing that before we knew it, we had trouble getting to 10 minutes. And after an hour, when we finally stopped, we exceeded an hour of praying. It's almost like you have to break through this barrier. And that's when the joy really happens, is you're just flowing and you're loving people and you're feeling the benefit. And I recommend more than 12 minutes.
And that's when the real work begins, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, you know how you have a conversation with somebody and they go, "How you doing? How's your wife?" And that's not, and it's like it's almost like a courteous sneeze. Yes, we just have to ask that, and then we've finished. But it's not until you sit down. I had a friend in the Kalamazoo church, and he say, "Lori, tell me about your day." And I used to go, "Oh," it used to make me almost panicky when he'd do that. We'd sit there and he'd just wait and listen. And then I started finding out that I was talking to him about things that I didn't even want to talk to him about. And we became better friends about it. And I just thought, you know, God is sitting on his throne and he's willing to listen to me. And why do I just give these courteous sneezes to him and I just do my checklist? He really wants to hear, how is it really going? What is really making you tick? Where can I help you in so many ways? And I'm just like, that's when the real work begins.
Or the real benefit begins.
Yes. Well, and so then, Tom, you could say, well, maybe I'm just praying because this is going to benefit me physically. But, you know, God is a powerful God. Here he tells us to do things, and we think we're just making him happy. But the truth is, he's benefiting our life by us being obedient to him. I mean, just like the Ten Commandments, we have a better, more stable, healthier life when we obey those. And when we have prayer and we spend time with him, he actually is able to permeate our hearts and change our lives. And that is what makes such a great benefit in our mental health.
You know, I think of a Bible story, you know, about persistence. And Captain Naaman came to Elijah, and Elijah told him to dip in the water. Did he say once?
No.
Did he say three times?
No.
Five times?
No.
Six times?
Not until he was really fully tired of it.
Seven times. And I just wonder if persistence is also important, not just like, I tried it once, but persistence may have the greatest benefits.
Yes. You see, because God knows a person is willing to put time in and that they've scheduled him rather than just on the fly, and so that he has to catch up with them so he can hear from them. And so, yes, we want to talk to him when we're on the fly and when we're driving and when we're elsewhere. I mean, God answers prayers no matter where we're at. But when we actually schedule times and we persist in a schedule with him, I mean, that is where he says, this is one of my followers who really wants to connect with me.
Well, Lori, we've talked a lot of things in the last 50 minutes. Would you kind of review and summarize those for our listeners? Some of them might have picked us up in the second half of this program. So would you please do that for us?
I would be happy to. So I like those acronyms, PRAY, which is P is praise the Lord for all the good things that he's done in nature and creation and in my life and all. And then R is for repent. You know, acknowledge my sins, confess them, and give them to him, and say I'm sorry, and ask him to put a new heart in me. The next one is A, for ask, and that's where you keep a list of the things that you're praying for and recognize that he's answering them, and ask for him to help you in your heart, too. Don't just pray for others, but pray for yourself as well. Give me a clean heart, Lord. Change me. And Y is yield. Yield my life to him. Do you have more time, Tom?
I do. About
okay,
3 more minutes.
Just like, okay, keep praying every day. plan to pray, consistently pray, T-E-A. I like have tea with Jesus. Take all of your sins to him. Take all your thoughts captive. E, give him everything and do it all the time. So beginning every morning, and don't forget to thank him. That's when it really benefits us, when we thank him for all that he's done. And don't do it just because it makes you better mentally and physically, but because you really want him in your life, you love him, and you want to serve him. And let me tell you that when you're close to God, your life on this earth is going to be so much better when you know he's got your back.
You talked about the people who like to pray in the morning, and it was very beneficial for them.
Yes, actually, the clinicians found out how important it is to start your day praying. Many of us don't want to pray in the morning. We don't feel like talking to anybody maybe in the morning when we wake up. But that's when we need to make sure that it's his day and not the devil's day. It's God's day. We're dedicating our lives to him.
And you shared a story about a severe storm, and a friend called you without prompting, and you got home safely, and the next morning you went through that very same area and saw that there had been quite a disaster of trees falling and such, and gave you good reason to believe that God, that prayer was answered.
That's right. I'll never know, did God stop a tree from falling on my car at that exact moment? But to know that God watched over me during that time, and those trees did come down in that area, and to know that God is with me and I'm not alone, and it doesn't matter whether I'm in a storm or when I'm in a calm time, just that he's got my back and I can trust him completely with my life. And then it was even more encouraging that he asked one of my friends to pray for me.
Yes. And we kind of closed out the last few minutes with talking about the benefits of prayer on your health and on your relationships. And the studies show that couples that pray for each other have benefits, and there is tangible results, and that praying 12 minutes a day has a very significant improvement on your life. This is one mental health solution without any side effects. In fact, it does have side effects, and those are good side effects.
Yes. We all need help with our mental health, and how wonderful that we have a Lord that's interested in how we're doing physically, mentally, and spiritually. And he only tells us to do things that benefit us. I'm just like, what a good God we serve.
Amen. Well, you've been listening to Lori Snayman talking about prayer and mental health. And I'm your host, Tom Bajur, for Strong Tower Radio. God bless. Until next time. Bye now.